And you might, in the light of our little exercise of late, looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, which is absolutely indispensable, and all the benefits of God are useless apart from his ministry. And therefore, as we've been looking at all of that, and we looked at what he does to help us enjoy and understand God's person, and thus Galatians 5 and 22, he provides the fruit, singular. He provides the fruit of the Spirit. His wonderful ministry is to take using the vine, the God, and he brings out of God and from God into the branch, into the believer's heart, all that is God is, the fullness of God in the person of Jesus Christ. He brings that to the branch, and the branch is able to sustain itself. The branch doesn't have any of it. But when the branch is attached properly, it has all of it. It doesn't have some of it. It has to have all of it, not some of it. You don't take pieces of God. You get God in his wonderful fullness. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, which we're looking at all these, the nine fruits, which are, and 9,000 of them. But nine represent God's wonderful person. So, as we rest in God, in his wonderful grace, you enjoy God's person. You enjoy the person in his fullness. That means you enjoy and know the love of God. God is love. You know the joy. My joy I give unto you. You have his joy. You just have his person. We're in his presence. We're in his presence. And we're in the middle of his love. We have a relationship. We have a relationship, God, to your joy. And we added to that a relationship to your delight, and we did all these. We tried to look at each thing, and now to your peace. Now, and therefore, remember where we stood, Galatians 5:22, and here in John 14:27, just to remind us, up in the upper room, peace I leave with you, my peace. So it isn't the world's peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Just enjoy my wonderful person. That's what I want you to learn to do. It's going to take Pentecost and Calvary before they can ever get to this. But at least he's telling them what is going to be possible. So therefore, the peace. And we shared together, we looked at the word shalom and ge-re-ne, New Testament, Old Testament, peace. And peace has to do, shalom, wholeness, fullness, completeness, perfectness, finishedness, well-being, wholeness, completeness. Nothing is missing in it, or in any way, shape, or form. And so therefore, God's peace, coming, everything comes. There's every part of God, and there's nothing missing. There's no aspect of anything that God isn't in peace. He has all the pieces at all times, completely. There's never anything lacking. Never. Nothing is ever lacking. Complete wholeness, completeness, perfectness. It's gone. My peace I give unto you, all that I am. There's nothing ever missing, nothing ever needed. Everything is in wonderful, like we shared, perfect peace. Wonderful peace. Now, and so, and as we were looking at all that, and God calls us to know and enjoy his peace in a most wonderful way. And therefore, everything coming together, collecting, as we shared, everything coming, nothing missing in any way, shape, or form. So, and we share together, it doesn't come from your old nature. Your old Adam nature does not have peace. And like we shared, the world gives peace. But we know from Isaiah 48 and 57, there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. They are like the troubled sea and never, never resting, always trying to have peace. That's where we are globally in the world right now. It's been there a long time, but it just activated and coming forward in a fresh way. Globally, we need peace. We need peace. We need, because everything's in disruption. So it doesn't come from our old nature. So hang on to that. So whatever, you can't have the life of God and any aspect of God apart from God. It doesn't come from us. So whatever we're going to have to get, we're to reckon ourselves not as a bucket and to run around and collect everything. We're to reckon ourselves as dead. Why? So that we can enjoy using the branch to the vine. The branch is dead. Dead. And when I connect it to the tree, as it were, it enjoys life. But the life isn't in the branch. The life is in the tree. That's where the life is. I don't want to lose that. That'll help us instantly. Now, secondly, keep in mind, and it's not part of our old nature, and in the light of it or that, God's ways and thoughts are so in the light, past our understanding. Past our understanding. So, and therefore Isaiah 55, 8, 9, 10, 11, my ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. How high are they, God? They're higher than the heavens. They're higher than the heavens. That's how high they are. They're out of reach. They're out of reach. Now in the process, and keeping that in mind, so here's God's wonderful grace in God's wonderful way, and therefore we're going to look to God and trust God. His thoughts and ways are higher than the heavens. And so we have our thoughts. And now, moving back over to Colossians, if you would, where we were. And in Colossians, remember in chapter 3, Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And we're looking at the peace of God ruling, the word rule is empire, to be an empire, to be an arbitrator, to make the decision. The peace of God makes the decision, That's what it does. Now, empire, but do that. Now, hang on. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, And in chapter 10, you'll recall, God tells you how to handle this. It doesn't come from your old nature, so you're looking at the peace of God. I have peace about something. That's one thing. To have God's peace, that's another thing. Most believers go by the peace in their own heart. That's what I'm telling you. That's how they do it. I feel good about it. I feel good. I do it. Now, so 2 Corinthians chapter 10, knowing we have this, and remember now in Galatians 5:17, the Spirit of God causes combat, contention with your old nature. The Adam nature you have opposes your new nature in the last Adam, Christ. It opposes it. And so the Spirit of God causes a war in your little old heart. That's why you don't have it. You don't have any problem when you're unsaved because it's all dark. But when you get saved, you have dark still, but you have light. And light opposes the darkness. So what are we going to do then, since the peace of God comes from God, and it has to come from God, not from our own nature? What are we going to do? Chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, we can't do it in the way that we think we can. We can handle it. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, our old nature, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, your thought process, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, I'm looking for God, the outworking of God's will, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule, be the umpire in your life, in your heart. And so what are we going to do? We're going to go and remember that my thoughts and my feelings and my fears are mine. God's are something else. And God's thoughts and God's ways are higher than heaven's. So therefore, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to be very clear to myself to make a distinction. I'm looking for what? I'm looking for God. So I've got to go to your word, God, because your thoughts and ways are higher than mine. And I have to keep myself out of the equation. I have to be looking to you. I'm going to cast down. I feel this way, God. I want this. I like this. That's true. But that's you. I want to distinguish. Is that God from you or mine? So therefore, I cast down every thought. I take it, every thought that has to come when it comes to decisions and coming and going in a good way. I have to give them, I have to look to God. God, the outworking of your will. That's why we walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. So we just walk and trusting God, abiding in the branch, abiding. And when things come up that require decision, Philippians 4:6, when things come up, let your requests be made known to God. So, as we go, we're going to casting down, demolishing, as it were, and we're going to go and take every thought and cast it down. It belongs on the cross, and it is not going to, I reckon myself dead indeed unto sin, and I'm going to go and look to the knowledge of God to be outworked in my little old life. And I'm going to, what? I'm going to take every thought, which I'm able to do. I'm free to do it. I can take all my wonderful thoughts, terrible thoughts. I can take them. I have the right God gave you, I am person. A person is able to say, animals can't say, but persons can say, I am, I will, I ought. I am responsible, and I am obligated to morally do the right thing. I am. And therefore, I'm able to look to God and take that wonderful thought I have and bring it to God in a wonderful, wonderful way. I just subject it to God, to the cross. God, so my little thought isn't going to dominate. I'm going to be looking to God, not my thought and not how much I want it or feel it. No, I'm going to look to God. So, and casting down every high thought. So therefore, God, in his wonderful grace, is going to go in the business and outwork his wonderful life in a most wonderful way. And you would remember when it says, casting down your imaginations and every high thought. Now, where you were last week, tie that together to the Old Testament, Isaiah 26. Isaiah in chapter 26. And you would recall, Isaiah, and chapter 26, tie it, casting every imagination, your thought. Sliding it over now, Isaiah 26. Remember now all of that. Kingdom is going to be a wonderful time. A God, the believer is able to go and look to God and trust God. And God's going to protect them, a wall around them of salvation. Verse 1, sliding down to verse 3. And thou will keep him, keep God, him, in perfect peace. The word perfect is the peace, is the word peace. But it's shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. Perfect peace. Whole, perfect peace. How are you going to keep me, keep them in perfect peace? Whose mind is stayed, your imagination, your thought process. I'm looking at God, I got a mind, I feel, I think, but I can yield. I have every right to look to God's word, no matter how I feel or anyone feels. And that's what God said. I don't care what I think and what I feel about it. God says what he says. And I have every right to agree with him and honor him, casting down every thought in your imagination. So therefore, I can always let the Spirit of God, the Word of God, prevail in my little old heart. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and way over this way, back over to where you were in Isaiah 32, and in Isaiah, in chapter 32, you would remember, we shared together, here's our same word, and during the kingdom, you're going to have verse 15, and this, until the Spirit of God be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted as a forest. In other words, you're going to see it all grow and become a mighty, mighty, wonderful, wonderful world, a spiritual world. Verse 16, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Always righteousness. Verse 16, the judgment shall dwell in the wilderness. Verse 17, the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect, work. What does righteousness do? Things that are right make for peace. If you know it's right, don't you relax? If you just know it's right. When you don't know it's right, but when you know it's right, it makes you, I've got peace. I know it's right. It's the right thing. Now, Now the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect or result of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. So God, you're able to go and frame our little mind and heart so that you're the right person, trusting you in the right way, and the right person in the right way comes out in the right direction for the right reasons, etc., etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so casting down all our thoughts and reason and mind, trusting God, that's why we have, that's why we know God's word a little bit, and that's why we trust it. So, back over to 1 Corinthians. No, before you do that, back over to Colossians again. Make sure we're on the same page here. And in Colossians, and you will note, if I can, Colossians in chapter 3, we read it. That's what we're looking at, actually. We're trying to understand better how to exercise the peace of God and how the peace of God exercises us. We exercise the peace of God. The peace of God exercises us. So, Colossians 3 and 15, let the peace of God rule. And the word rule means the judge. Think of the public games in the Colosseum and the Olympics and all those things, in the Grecian games way back then. And the judge, the umpire, the president calls the shots. And he tells you whether you ran fairly or you didn't run fairly. He calls the shots. Who gets the prize? The umpire, the judge, makes the decision. Is it a ball or a strike? Does the person in the stand make it? No, the umpire makes it. You can argue and do whatever you want, but there's only one umpire, and he calls either a ball or a strike. God, the peace of God, is the judge, is the umpire in your life. He calls the shots. And you know that from Proverbs, all the other wonderful things. Proverbs 16 and 33 in that. And the lot is cast where? Into your lap. Here it is in your lap. But the whole outworking of it is God's. God outworks it. He's the umpire. He's the judge. Shall not the judge, Genesis 18, 25, Abraham, you got it. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Absolutely. Righteousness. Righteousness produces peace. Rightness, all the parts are together. It's complete. Nothing's missing. Nothing's missing. Peace. Wonderful peace. Now, hang on. And having said that, over to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, looking to see how that works itself out. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, and you will note. If I can. And remember now, Paul running the race that's before him. Verse 24. Know you not, 9:24, 1 Corinthians. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize that the umpire gives, the judge. The peace of God shall judge, be the umpire. We're going to run the race to get the prize. The only one we can get it, the umpire calls the shots. Whether it's legit, you get the garland of wreath on top of your head or not. But one receiveth the prize. So run. In other words, go by the book, go by the rules. If you don't, you can't play using football or something, baseball, whatever, and you can't run. You can't run outside the line where the field is. You can't decide to go into the stands and run down to get a touchdown. You can't do that. You got to stay in the field. You step off the field, put your foot even a little bitty on that blind, on that line, you're out of bounds. You're out of bounds. It's no good. Therefore, you're going to run the race. Verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. But they do, and remember, you work very hard to do and be what the Olympics and all of that. Now, they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, they wear a gold, a thing of gold, silver, bronze. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Why do you do that? Lest that it by any means, 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5, casting down every thought that exalteth itself. I don't want to get caught up in my own direction, my own thinking. But keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, and I'm telling them how to run, I myself am a castaway and put on the shelf, and God doesn't use me. I don't want to say one thing that I can't do. I want to be able to do, God help us, I want to be able to do. Otherwise, I'm telling, that's like in Romans chapter 2, they're telling them the blind leading the blind, and they're telling them how to do things, what to do, but they themselves are blind and falling into the pit, the same as the rest of them. You don't want to do that. No, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be a castaway. No, I want to run the race. I want to stay legally. The Lord, he's the umpire. I want to stay down the corridor. Psalm 24. Then he leadeth me in paths of what? Righteousness for his name's sake. Going down. God, I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to stay in course. So God, when it comes to things, decisions, then I have to be careful. So therefore, seeing it again, Philippians. And Philippians, if I can. And Philippians, where are you? And Philippians chapter 3. And you would recall, looking at a little word. And here we go, chapter 3, and a little context. Paul looking and saying, so you see it, verse 7, what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. And Paul had everything, as you read above that. He was rich. He was a Roman citizen. He was a Pharisee. He was a Jew at the top. He was at the Romans. Rich, a Roman citizen. He had everything going for him. He had the best education. Man, you could have been better. Wow. And Paul said, after I got all that, and you can think of missionaries, I think E.T. Studd, no, different ones, that had everything and left it to go to the mission field. Now, so here, Philippians, and in chapters, I count it, verses 28. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. All of them are nothing. All that I have in my flesh, that I could have gained is nothing. That's why you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, not many noble, not many rich, not many are called. We're caught up in what we're doing. It's okay. Therefore, they're going Philippians chapter 3. Though I count it all as waste, casting down everything, put all the pieces together, said the same thing over and over again, telling you five different ways to understand what you're supposed to be doing. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, to lay hold of, to apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ. God has laid hold of me to save me, and I want to lay hold of God for why he saved me. I want God's will in God's way, in God's everything for my life. He grabbed me for his wonderful will, and I reach out and want everything. I grab him, as it were. No. So verse 13 again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's right, going forward. I press to the mark for the prize, P-R-I-Z-E, prize. Can't have the prize, can't have the crown. The judge makes the umpire. He makes the decision. He makes the decision. I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And remember, as we did these things over the years, remember this, here's the level right here, up in the pulpit, here's this line, this is the level. And here's the graph, to go up like this. Here's the graph, here's the line, and people, everyone's different. Here's the line, and people go, they become a believer, God bless them, and they do this. They do this, and then they spend the rest of their life till they die like this. And then they compare themselves to see how they're doing. And here's another guy, another believer. And this believer is down here. I can't use my arm, but here's the arm. And this believer is down here. So you feel sort of good that you're doing better. You aren't doing too bad. You look at them, you look at how they live. Not too bad. But then here's this other guy, and here's this other guy up here like this, and they level off like this. And this is how the system is. We're all where we are, and we compare ourselves with others, and if we depending on who we're comparing ourselves with, we feel good or not so good. And when the people are better than us, people that work than us, that's the way it is. But we're us. But Philippians 3:14 isn't saying that. What is Philippians 3:14 isn't saying this. It's a 45, using a 45 degree angle. You're going up. Philippians 3:13 is saying this. As I keep going down the corridor of time, I keep growing up like this. I'm pursuing the prize of the high, H-I-G, high calling of Christ Jesus. Ah, that's different. That's different. Now, that's a whole nother ball game. So now, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So therefore, the peace of God acts as an empire for us. And God is doing a wonderful thing to help us. The peace of God is to rule in our heart in a most wonderful way. And let no man beguile you and take away that peace from your heart in a most wonderful way. Now, I can illustrate that for you if you like. It costs me something in a sense. I say my personal things freely. I probably shouldn't, but I do. But a long time ago in my little old life, back then, I just want to show you this, 70 years ago or whatever. Anyway. And in the process, I was committed going down the corridor of time. God was dealing with my heart. My physical being was different. My mental being was different. My spiritual being was becoming. But I was one eager beaver, as it were, going down the corridor of time. And I was committed. I wanted God's will for my life. I'd wanted it all my life. When I was in the Coast Guard, I stood at the bow of the ship. I think of all the different things. Bow of the ship in the middle of the ocean. And said, God, at the bow, looking out into the ocean, God, I want your will. That's what I want now. So, and going down the corridor of time. So, in the process of looking for God's will in my life, I did. I went to Biola for a while and all of that stuff. And doing that, I had a little mission work downtown in L.A. Here's the Church of the Open Door, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Here he is. And just a little bit down the street, in the same street, was Mrs. Templeton. She had a little mission, and where they could come in and do whatever and have a little service on Sunday and for people that might walk in from the street. There's nowhere to park anyway but the street, and they did that. So I did that. I was committed to that. That's what I wanted, what God wanted, no matter what. I'll give you a little background, it may help you. And in the process, so I wanted that. I didn't want to lose that. I didn't want anything to be a hindrance, an encumbrance. I didn't want to have a cat, a dog, or a person to be an that I have to take care of. I wanted to be totally free to be able to go wherever God wanted, easily. I didn't want to get caught up. I wanted to be free to get on the corridor, and that's what I wanted. And with that time, we had discipleship classes in L.A. We started them, you know, that we told you all these things years ago. And 12 of us, church of being, Henrietta Mears was and all of that, and 12 girls and boys, yeah, 12 of us. And we decided we'd like to have, the system isn't helping us get to God. So we got to get to God. That's what we got to do. We aren't getting there in the system. It just isn't there. So we met, we just made a covenant, and we were going to meet 12 weeks, 13 weeks in a row, whatever it was. And every Friday night we'd meet. We had a little things we developed, studies, and things we had to do for each Friday night in preparing for it, our own heart for it. And we did that. And God blessed that. God blessed it. God blessed it so much that others wanted to come in. So we broke up and started classes throughout the city of L.A., etc. And we did that. We had discipleship classes. And the discipleship classes were there to help us. And we did them. We had ministers coming. Clergy were coming to it. We were serious. No messing around, man. We're going down that right. But boom, we're in this thing to win. And we did that. And we had all that. And that we did that for 3 years. And then it died. But in the process, now the peace of God. Where does that come in? In the process of having discipleship classes, I had one where Jeanette was going to church. Was going to church, and I had discipleship class there. And she was one of the students in the class. And so we did whatever the class. And somehow, I don't know quite how, somehow we got attracted to, I can't tell you how. I can't give you an explanation for it. I don't know it. But anyway, and she was just a girl. I like girls, don't get me wrong. I'm all for girls. But girls would hinder where I'm going to go down the corridor. And so therefore, I was set, comfortable. But God was dealing with my heart. And ultimately I ended up, and I took Jeanette home one night instead of other people's taking her home after the discipleship class. So anyway, that started a little conversation or two. And in the process, we ended up considering getting married and all of that, to say it fast. And we didn't mess around because I didn't have time. Man, I'm on the way, and I'm not messing around with this stuff. So therefore, Jeanette was going to Biola at the time, and in the process. So it ended up, I said, Jeanette, I think God's telling me to get married to you. That's what I think he's telling me to do. And I don't think of it, but I'm going to do whatever he wants. I didn't say it quite that way, but that was the idea. And that was the way to do it. Now, and she said she was for it. How's that? She said, that's okay. Now what? That's not good enough. And Jeanette was seeking a hot, good heart. I said, Jeanette, you're going to have to go. We had an engagement for 2 weeks, and I broke it off. I said, you go home. Here's everything. Here's everything back. Take you. But we can start again. I want you to go home and want God's will for your life. If I'm included, fine. But you log yourself in to where you are fully, wonderfully trusting God for whatever God has for your life. And if it includes me, that's fine. But you give it to God. Give the plan, your hopes, your dreams, what you want, and me to God. And leave it with God. Leave it with God. And then we'll go from there. And we waited. I said, I'll wait till you do that. Because that's what I've done. I don't want any mistakes here. As I go down the corridor of time, I don't want them. And so therefore, we waited. And then one day, Jeanette said, I've done it. I just want God's will, whether it includes you or it doesn't. I'm quite content. And God gave her a peace. And I had the same peace. The peace of God passes understanding. And locked it in. And I know her mother said, yes, whatever, all these different things. What are you going to do? I'm going to trust God and go forward. And her father looked at me. How are you going to take care of her? I'm just going to go with God. But he trusted. He trusted. Trusted me. Trusted something. And God, here we are. I'm just trying to, how you practice the will of God, the peace of God. Practice it. Live it. For work, I had different kind of jobs, 1,000 jobs, all kinds of jobs. But one of them, I have to ask John, what kind of work? What do you want me to do, God? And God sent me down from Hughes to go to University of Southern California to be computers when they were just coming out and doing that, a group of us. And I went to that, brother, whatever. I still have notes from it. A computer design and all that. And then going from that, and God said, listen, that isn't where I want you. No, I don't want you doing that. Nope. So I had to go to my boss and say, listen, boss, my dear boss, wow, what a privilege I had, a boss. I said, listen, I think I gotta go elsewhere. God has something else in mind. So I ended up, here I am. I'm just trying to illustrate. Practice the peace of God. Learn to do it. I did it way back then. And if I have, whatever, you got the idea. So you see it. Let the peace of God be the umpire in your life. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. So you don't just say, well, I'm going to do this. It sounds good. Give it to God to see if it is good. Because the good could rob you from the best. the good could rob you from God's will in the name of good. So you don't want to do that. I don't know whether that helps you or not. The peace of God. Practice it. Practice it. I tell you, not many people even know how to do it. They don't even know how, they don't even do it. They don't do it. They don't do it. So God, you got to help us in every way to grow and to know and to learn and to go down the corridor of time. Over then, back over if you would, please. Back over to Philippians. Since you're into Philippians, why not? Since you're into Philippians. And what are we going to do? We're going to let the peace of God act as an umpire in our life as we go down the corridor of time. And what's it going to back over chapter? Well, hold Colossians chapter 3 again. Verse 15. 3 and 15, Colossians. Let the peace of God rule, act as an umpire, arbitrator, as the one to decide in your hearts, to the which you also you were called in one body. In one body. There's not 10 different things in the body of Christ. Here we are sitting here. This is the local body. Local body. And it isn't 10 different opinions about things. It's one. It's God's. So we go back to the book. We look at the book. We all have to be, that's why we have prayer meeting Wednesday and all that, to say amen. We understand the same truth. So we're able to say amen. It's the peace of God that is found in one body. One body. Not in 15 different opinions. It's the peace of God to rule in your heart in one body. You can't have in your using your brain. You can't go in three directions at once. To be anxious in thought, divided up in your mind. You can't go to 10 directions. You have to pick one and lock onto it. Right one in the right way for the right reasons to get down the corridor of time. You need to be able to do that. That's what makes us one. Otherwise, we're just sitting. We get all, I don't know. I never thought about that. See, we haven't won. Anyway, you'll pick it up. I think you'll see it. Philippians chapter 2 again. And you're going to go in chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 12. Work out your own salvation, verse 12, 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's going to do what he's going to do. And you're going to what? Work out your own salvation, not anybody else's. And God's going to do work in you, which is both to will, God's will, and to do God's way for God's pleasure. God's going to do what he's going to do in the way that he's going to do it. That's what he's going to do. And you have to trust him. Let the peace of God rule in your heart in all wonderful wisdom and all that God is doing. Philippians chapter 4. And when you're trusting God, be careful, verse 6, as you know, but put it together. Be careful for nothing, don't worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, God's peace, not our peace, my peace I leave unto you, said the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So therefore, we aren't going to sit and figure it out. We're going to believe God and rest. You believe at the pew and you're resting in it. You're looking for God's will in God's way, in God's time, and you want it not your will, not somebody else's will. You want God's will outworked, and you're resting in it. You're resting. I'm not understanding. I don't need to. I just need to know I'm abiding abiding in the branch. I'm resting, resting in it, resting. I'm not working at it. I don't have to have greater. God said you aren't going to understand it. So if you're sitting there waiting to understand, let the peace of God rule in your heart and waiting for a bell to go on or something. It isn't going to go on usually. God could do a bell, but that isn't what he's going to do. And you're resting. And you aren't going to understand it. You're going to trust it. You're going to trust him for it. That's what you're doing. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall mount guard upon your mind and your heart as you go down the corridor, casting down every high thought that goes against God down, resting, peace, peace, resting down, shalom, shalom, resting down my mind on God's word and trusting God. And we're going to try that in the morning, and that we're going to do it. Try it. Pray for that. I'm going to try to do something for you. It'll take 2 or 3 times to try to help you. It's never done. God help us. Anyway, we'll pray even. Our Father and God, we thank you. Spirit of God, yep, thank you very, very, very much. Take care of us. Help us. We're just us plowing along. So help us very much, even now, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.